Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Before we begin, I want to remind y'all to make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you wouldn't mind, please rate and review Dress in Splendor wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to be able to share more episodes like these where we highlight some incredible people so others can find encouragement through their testimonies. Today, we have the lovely and talented Leah Stukin on the show. As you'll soon find out, Leah is a painter who utilizes her talent to encourage the masses through live painting. She found a boldness in her faith through her painting, and she continues to find ways to share the heart of God as He instructs her. We talk about her journey from a self-interested to a Christ-serving desire to paint, how God placed a dream on her heart and emboldened her to achieve that dream, and she shares some beautiful advice for you, dear listener, through the lens of the Bible narrative of Mary and Martha. All that and more coming up. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Leah, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
She is a podcast noob, everyone. So, her first time, but I know she's going to do great. And I know that you're going to love her story. But Leah, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I caught you mid-drink. We're having tea and we're just cozied up on her couches and I have a heated blanket because I have no socks on and I'm freezing because it is a lot colder. What's that?
It's a cold day.
It is a cold day. It was, I mean, you know, I'm not ever going to complain because I used to live in Illinois and the winters are pretty bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when you're not used to it.
I'm not. No,
so it's kind of bad.
Yeah, that's it's the first thing that you can know about me is I'm an Arizona girl, born and raised from the desert. And yeah, so I'm definitely not used to this kind of cold weather at all. Mm-mm. So it's very chilly. I mean, it's nice to actually experience like different seasons of the year for once.
Yeah, because you got to see like fall colors for the first time.
Oh, right? Yeah, literally for the first time. I got to witness fall trees and all the colors, and it was just so magical. I absolutely loved it. I'm sad that most of the trees are like gone now, but it was such a joy. I came at a good time.
Yeah, and hopefully you can say that you have a lot more to come of like experiencing seasons in fall. Mm-hmm. Especially like seeing the starting colors and everything, and maybe I don't know when it is. I'm talking like I know Nashville for longer than you. When I've only been here 3 weeks longer than you have, but yeah. So, is there anything else that you want to like share about yourself before we kind of dive into our conversation?
Oh boy, yeah, for sure. Okay, so for all of you guys that don't know me, my name is Leah. I'm an artist and I do a lot of different creative things, but right now, what I'm really focusing on is live painting. So, not like wedding stuff or like event type of stuff. Not that. I do live worship painting. So oftentimes you'll find me like at a church or maybe like a worship night, something like that. And I'll be like on stage or near the stage, just doing a live worship painting and just worshiping the Lord through the creative gifts and talents that He's blessed me with. So that is a lot of what I do. And, you know, I do like my own projects and things on the side as well. And it's just kind of a blast right now. There's a lot going on. I mean, we're going to get more into it in this conversation, but that's kind of the gist of what I do right now. And, Yeah, we'll get into like more yes. of what that's about, and Word Guide's kind of like leading that right now.
Heck yeah. You are doing a great job of segueing into our next part of the conversation. But yeah, so obviously you're a painter, mm-hmm. love it. I got to know you sort of through a mutual friend, and the more I know about you, the more I'm like so impressed by you. I know maybe that you're uncomfortable hearing praise, but yeah, so you promote yourself online as a painter, but mm-hmm. I know because we've had this conversation before that you didn't always used to do that, and you it wasn't until probably I think you said this past year that you became more serious about it. But why, like, tell us about that journey. Like, why did you decide to take it more seriously into this route of where maybe potentially one day you could actually make a living off of this? Like, where was that inspiration? Where did it come from?
Yeah, so simply put, it has all been just like divine inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And again, I've not always wanted to do this. I have always enjoyed art growing up, but it was definitely treated more as a hobby until I was in middle school. I got really into anime at the time. Nice. So I was a pretty big geek when I was a kid, and that was the thing that actually really got me into art and like thinking seriously about being some type of artist. But I wanted to actually move to Japan and create like my own comics and like anime series. At the time, that's seriously what I wanted to do, and nobody was going to change my mind until I actually had an encounter with God.
Nice.
And he just totally flipped that up. And yeah, so essentially what happened was, yes, you know, like I was into art, drawing, and getting into like watercolor painting at the time. But when I was 16, almost 17, is when I encountered the Lord. And ever since that night, I just had like a hunger deep within me that like could not be quenched at all to just pursue the Lord. And I really wanted my life to reflect that. And so a lot of the passions and desires that I think I had as a kid was really the Lord like planting those things in me. I just didn't know it at the time. And so arts and creativity being a huge one. And fast forward a bit, I'm pretty sure I graduated high school, and since I was a little bit younger than everyone else, I could go to church camp one more year just before I was too old, because I wasn't quite 18 yet. And I remember that was the first time I saw a live worship painter. So somebody, just off the stage, just doing a painting during worship and during the message that was taught. And it like correlated with what the preacher was talking about. And I just remember like being so captivated by what he was doing and just seeing a visual representation of the message, I think was incredibly powerful. And so I remember that being like the first real like inspiring moment of like, I can do that. Like I can be that bold about my faith in art. I didn't know that was possible. And so I think that was just like the first moment where it's like I thought about it and like kind of considered it more. And so I had definitely been like thinking about it, but didn't really quite take it so seriously. There were a lot of other things that I was doing in my life after I graduated high school, and just a lot of different opportunities where the Lord wanted me to grow and experience certain things. So not quite to jump into like the art realm too quickly, not just yet. But I would say over the past 2 years or so, maybe like 2.5 years, God really started speaking to my heart again about, you know, this whole art painting thing. And I just kind of had like a strong conviction about it one day where I felt the Lord speaking to me. He's like, Leah, like, I gave you gifts and talents. I gave you dreams and visions and passions, and you're not pursuing them.
Yeah.
You need to start pursuing them, and you need to do that now. Like, you can't keep waiting, essentially. And I knew that was the Lord, and I knew it was conviction, because I had the desire all these years of, like, wanting to be an artist and wanting to be bold about my faith through art. But not doing so because, one, art, pursuing any creative, like, career is already so, like, I don't want to say, like, unstable, but, like, it's definitely a gamble. It's not a super safe career to choose.
Right.
And so wanting to do that / ministry also being a type of career that's not, like, super stable.
It's double nothing.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So because of that, it was like, over the years of having this desire, it's like I would take small, tiny little steps, like just dip my toes in the water, but things wouldn't necessarily go the way that I was hoping. And because of that, I would get really afraid. And I'd be like, okay, that's enough. I'm not going to pursue it any further. But again, about 2.5 years ago, God really convicted my heart. He was like, no, girl, like, I gave you things. Be faithful with them. Start pursuing them. Stop waiting for things to be easy. Stop waiting for things to be perfect. Because it never will be. And if that's what you're waiting for, you will never start. And so that was, like, a really big moment for me to, like, realize that that's what I had been doing for quite a few years. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm so sorry. You're right, though. Like, I can't believe, like, I was, like, waiting for things to be perfect. And, you know, I talk about, like, having faith and wanting to live an uncomfortable life, yet here I am, sitting on the sidelines, wanting to stay safe. And the reality is, like, if I'm, like, called to do something, it's not going to be safe. And I've known that since I've said yes to the Lord. I've known that life as a Christian and really pursuing the Lord, like, was never going to be safe. It was never going to be easy. It was never going to be comfortable. But when you're actually on that journey, it feels different. And so, anyways, in the midst of God giving me this conviction and me being like, okay, yes, Lord, I'm finally going to do it. I discovered this other worship artist. Her name's Vanessa Orabuena. She's very well known in what she does, and she's amazing. God has just anointed her greatly. But the chances of her being, like, near my hometown, I was just shocked. So essentially what happened was she has a warehouse out in Tempe, Arizona, and she was just opening it up. She was doing a grand opening. And so she was just going to be doing live paintings all day. And so we had the chance to go in to check out the warehouse that they just opened up. And I got to, like, meet her and talk to her a little bit. And so I got connected with her through that. And I got to intern with her for a couple months, and I got to learn some really amazing techniques and things from her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super, super awesome. Very challenging. And I would say that the biggest takeaway that I got from her was developing a backbone. Because again, like I said before, it was like I would attempt in the past to, like, pursue this art thing, like, as a career, as a ministry, but I would get too afraid and then I would back out. Not with Vanessa. She very much mentored me and, like, just told me how things were, and because of that, I was able to develop the backbone that I needed to actually do what it is that God has called me to do. So
like, kind of how
I'm trying to think.
That sounds a lot like your journey of how you've been able to start and get more serious and have more of, like you said, the backbone. And honestly, I feel like God really was he's the best person to give us tough love, because I feel like when he actually says something like what you were saying to you of like, you know, come on, just do the dang thing, like, you're like, oh yeah, you're right, I'm sorry, instead of being like, I'll do it on my own terms, okay? Mm-hmm. And which sometimes we do want to do that when we're comfortable, but we do need like a kick in the pants sometimes, mm-hmm. to be like, just get up and do it,
right?
And I feel like especially when you really know it's from the Lord and it's kind of the same, similar, different but similar, like, situation where when God instructed me to start the magazine, it was like an immediate yes. Like, yeah. I know it's from you. I have to follow uh-huh. you. When you know it's from God, like, you have to obey.
Right.
I'm curious, before we go on to another question on there, you had said that you encountered Jesus in high school. So I'm just curious to know, and like, I'm sure our listeners are curious to know, like, is that when you became a Christian? Did you grow up in a Christian mm-hmm. home? And how exactly did God meet you in high school?
Yeah. So I did grow up in a Christian home, and I would say that I've always been a Christian, but I was very lukewarm. So there was no true, genuine relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I would say that the church experience that I had growing up was very traditional, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, God to me was not personal at all. He was very far and very distant, and he was the type of being that I had to work to earn his affection.
Yeah.
And the night that I encountered the Lord, essentially what it was I was invited to this thing called a Holy Spirit party, and nice. It was just in
Sounds
somebody's
like
living
kind of
room. It was just in somebody's living room, and aside from my high school friend and her mom that brought me there, and it was probably like a group of like around 10, 14 people there. Aside from them, everyone else in the room I have never met in my entire life. Never spoke to,
wow.
nothing, didn't know them, didn't know their names, they didn't know me, didn't know my name. But just went in into their living room, and we did some worship and prayer for about an hour, and then afterwards they did this thing called the hot seat, and I just sat in the middle of the room, and
yeah.
they laid hands on me and they prayed over me, but then they started to prophesy. They started to speak God's heart over me. And that was the first time that I had ever experienced anything like that. And they were saying things that just revealed my heart, revealed what I was going through. They were reading my mail.
Yeah.
And I would say that I was a pretty smiley kid growing up, but there was a lot of torment going on mentally and emotionally for me that no one knew about, because I was so good at being a two-faced Christian that whatever stuff I was struggling with would not leave my room.
Yeah,
I would not show that to anyone, because I had convinced myself that as a Christian I can't do that. I can't inconvenience people, and how could I be a Christian and be struggling with these things, you know? But that night, it was the first time where the light switch finally went off, and I was like, oh my gosh, God loves me. And he is so good. It was like the first time that I truly experienced that verse. This is like, taste and see that he is good. That's what it was. It was the first time that I tasted and saw that, like, God, you are good. God, you love me. And I now suddenly have this burning desire to love you with everything that
amazing.
I am, with everything that I have. And so that's the night that I would say I was, like, really, really saved, really, really Christian. And it was the night that I was, like, I came alive.
Yeah.
Because I finally encountered Holy Spirit and got to experience the fullness of God.
That's amazing.
That I had not really experienced before. And I would say that also played into this whole art journey as well.
because, like I said before, I had this encounter with the Lord. I didn't know people could be so bold about their faith through arts and creativity. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of it boom now, but back when we were kids, I wasn't seeing that much. No. And whatever stuff there was out there, was just kind of cheesy or just like not very well done. And so any creativity, any creativity that like I had displayed growing up as a kid was not taken seriously or wasn't necessarily encouraged, in a way that was like, oh, Leah, like you could really go somewhere with this. You could really reach people's hearts through what God has given you. I think that's pretty much it.
You're doing great. I would never have known this was your first time on a podcast, by the way. But yeah, so actually, like, even in that same kind of vein, as you were talking at the beginning of this episode of like how you were really into anime and thought you wanted to do that, and then being taught how to be more bold with your painting and live painting with Vanessa and everything, but also knowing you now and knowing that your style is different, you realize like I've been kind of doing what Vanessa's been doing and I need to find out what my style is. That's kind of like, I feel like that also represents like the different stages of life that you were in, because like the anime, you're like all for me, what I want to do. Vanessa was like, I just need to learn that boldness and how to be bold in faith with live painting, and now with like figuring out your own style, like would you say that you, the style that you have now, which you can go into more detail of what that looks like and what it is, was that similar to what it was before Vanessa, or did she help kind of shape how you were able to find your own voice and style with your painting, or was it like God's like, no, this is you?
Man, that's a really good question, actually. Let me think about that, because it's like I want to say yes to all of it, if that's even possible, because it's like, when I was really into anime, I was drawing a lot of like these really cool characters, and I still have some of my old drawings, and I look back on them and I'm like, dang, I actually had skill. Like, I was creating some really cool characters.
That's awesome.
So it's like I could have actually gone somewhere with that, but yeah, like you were saying, it was more of the mindset of like it was just for me, and not something that was like a big enough dream that involves other people. But it's like I've also like learned from Vanessa and like a couple other mentors too, like their techniques and their things, and some of those things just being very good, just very practical techniques that are good to have when you know, doing paintings and that kind of stuff to make your paintings look good and professional. Also at the same time, it's like I feel like God has given me inspiration for a totally new different style that I never thought of before or necessarily had a desire for. And so it's like a very new thing for me, but like it's very strange because I've had ideas of different styles and things that I wanted to try in the past, and I tried them like for just like a couple weeks or like a month or so, and it like just died off very quickly. Like I did try going back into like the anime thing and just like just for fun, not like taking it super seriously, but I was like, I think it'd just be fun if like, you know, I drew this a little more, like drew real life people as anime characters. To just
would be really cool.
to just do that. But it was like the interest, the desire that I had for it died so fast. And the style that I've had the past couple years as I have been mentored by other people wasn't necessarily it just didn't totally feel like me. And so it's good and it's beautiful, and like I've definitely created some like really cool pieces that I'm very proud of, but at the end of the day, it was like when I was painting, it was just like it just does not feel natural to me. And I've been doing art for years now. I know when it feels natural to me or not. And right now it doesn't. And so it's kind of making me a bit frustrated in my like creating process. So yeah, now it's a very interesting thing. The style that I'm like going with now is something that I just think is like very fun and feels a lot more like me. It feels like I can really push creative boundaries and just really paint outside the box here. And so I'm starting to dabble more in like graffiti art, street art, urban art, that kind of style. Using that as a way to really spread the message of the gospel, which is an interesting concept because most of the time with graffiti, people correlate that with people who are like thugs and and people who are like, you know, like vandalizing and committing crime. And I'm just like, no, I'm just practicing the style like on my own little paper pad like canvas, you know. So I'm not going out and committing crime. I'm just practicing that style because I do think that there is actually beauty and value in the style. I've been like following like a bunch of different content creators who practice the style, and it's kind of interesting to see like how serious they are about their craft as well. And they're definitely not just like random people trying to like commit crimes. They're like, no, we take pride in what we do, and we also want to do it well, which is why I believe it's like caught on. Is because in a way graffiti has been kind of like a type of art that has sparked like like revolution.
I think you think with that kind of art, you think a lot of like social justice as well. To share a message.
It is very loud visually. It is very powerful. And it's definitely going to stop people in their tracks to be like, oh, what the heck is that? You know? And so for me, I think it's very interesting that God has like put this desire in me to start practicing the style. I'm still not entirely certain as to why, but like my best guess right now is that I really love working with youth. I really want to pour into the next generation. And that is just something that they kind of gravitate towards more. And so, yeah, again, it's just like, it's such an interesting style, but like that's what God has put on my heart, and I'm going to go with it. And I have been having so much fun doing it. I've been experiencing a lot of freedom, a lot of joy, and I really feel like this is a lot more like me. Like this is my style. Like this is the way that like God wants to represent himself through me, like Christ in me, you know?
That's how he wants to do it.
So I'm doing it.
Do you think that just because I think sometimes art does, it's not linear, it does mold and change its form and everything. Do you think maybe even at some point it could change into a different direction at some point in the future?
Oh, for sure. That is one thing that I find very valuable as an artist myself, is to constantly be learning, to constantly be trying new things, not to just stay in one spot. I've never really liked that phrase that says, like, how did it go exactly? How does the phrase go? It's like something about like being you know, learning a lot of different skills but not being a master of like one thing.
Master of, I don't know what you're, I know what you're talking about. Maybe if anyone listens to this episode and you know what quote it is, feel free to comment.
I can't quite quote it right now.
That's okay.
But I never really liked that quote because it sounded so negative towards people who wanted to learn a lot of different crafts. And because they're just like, oh, well, if you're learning a whole bunch of things, then you're never truly a master of one. And I'm like, actually, I find that to be the opposite. I find that the more skills and trades that you practice, and if you're serious about it, and really put in the work and effort to practice a specific skill or a specific trade, you can master that thing, and then you can take those skills, you can take that knowledge and quickly transfer over to the next skill, the next trade that you're interested in doing. So to me, I feel like I actually am becoming a master over many things. So yes, and I love so many different styles of art, and there are many things that like inspire me, and I know that I'm I really, again, am loving the graffiti street art style, but I also really love like very beautiful, simple modern art, abstract art, just straight up realism, like these things too, that also speak very powerfully. So I'm still trying to figure out, like, okay, guy, like, how is this going to look like? Am I going to be doing this forever? Am I just going to be doing this for a season? Or, you know, just kind of like an on and off thing?
I think that God is great in being able to share, like, for this, you know, for this event, you'll do this, and for that event, you'll do that. But which is actually, I wanted to talk about your live painting, because I don't think that your live painting has really been more of like the street urban art style or anything. Right. You can totally correct me if I'm wrong, because I've only seen you live paint once. But I would love to just go into more detail about live painting, because at least for people who maybe are more from a conservative like background in how they worship God, which, letting y'all know, there's nothing wrong with that, because I grew up in that. So, but, you know, there are a lot of churches that I think are embracing more art in worship, because God obviously created the arts. So dancing's more involved now, live painting's more involved. But when you get ready for an event, like, walk us through that. What does that look like? And how do you prepare for it? And what, when you're actually painting, like, what is your relationship with Jesus look like when you're doing that? Because I'm sure you're also, it's not something that you're just like painting just to paint. You are worshiping God in that moment, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question. I love that question. So when I was younger, I used to think that it was always spontaneous whenever it came to live worship painting. But again, getting to know other live worship painters that are serious, like Vanessa, or even getting to know people who aren't quote-unquote worship painters, they're still amazing Christians, but the world or media knows them more as just like straight up speed painters, and, and only that. They prepare for what they're doing. They're practicing for what they're doing, and they're very professional about it. And so in my mind now, the way that I see it is, when I worship the Lord, and if, especially if I know that it's going to be in front of people, so not just in my the privacy of my own home by myself, just me and God, if I know that I'm going to be doing it in front of people, I want to make sure that I do it well.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it is a gift and a blessing that God has given me. And I want to make sure that whatever it is that I'm painting visually communicates properly to the rest of the church, the audience that is seeing it. and so I think when I first started getting into this stuff, I did do some that were more spontaneous. And then again, I was like, I am proud of them, and they're very cool. But my style has developed drastically since then. My skills and the way that my paintings like turn out by the end of a worship set, so like anywhere between like 20 to 30 minutes or even like 45 minutes, I've done some that long too. Like, these paintings are coming out better and better and better, because I'm stewarding the thing that God has given me, stewarding that well. And so now, whenever I'm getting ready to do a live worship painting like at a church or like a worship service or something like that, I will oftentimes be speaking with whoever's like kind of coordinating that pastor or like an event coordinator or something, and just be like, hey, like, is there like a general message or theme that you guys want to be focusing on for that night? Because I want to make sure that I'm painting something that correlates with that. I don't want to you know, be painting something that's like super like moody and emotional when the message behind that night is like joy, you
know? Yes, like, totally. Oh,
didn't quite like get that.
I totally
one.
Missed the mark right there. That's not the vibe.
exactly. And so I will oftentimes communicate with them about that, and then I will go off into like my own space and just start brainstorming ideas. And you know, of course, like I go on the internet and use different images for like inspiration and that kind of stuff. And so I will like have those traced out on my canvas, and I will practice multiple paintings of the same painting, the same design, to make sure that I can get it down in the amount of time that I have for the actual worship event. Which again, it is so cool because I feel like Holy Spirit is just constantly like improving my skills and just like empowering me to like go faster and to create better, and just like with every single stroke, just it's like improving. It really is. And it's so cool because it's like the second time I do a painting, it can be faster and it can be better than the first time that I did it, which is cool because whenever it comes down to the actual like worship night and I'm actually on stage worshiping and painting, there are many times where I'm not actually focused on painting, but I'll like kind of pause and like really just focus on the Lord in that moment. So if I can have that time down quickly enough, and I know exactly how the process of this painting is going to go out, then I have a little more freedom, a little more wiggle room to step back from the canvas and just really allow the Lord to like speak to people's hearts in those moments. So yeah, but I will say too, I'm always nervous just before going on stage, and painting. That is something that I have just kind of like always dealt with, and I'm sure like I always will to some degree, but, at the end of the day, it is worship to the Lord. And I so look forward to worshiping the Lord and getting to just fully worship him too.
Yeah.
And I have so much joy in doing that. And so I get excited about it. So yeah, I may be nervous going up on stage, but at some point during the worship set, it's like I get in like my own little bubble where it's just me and God. And it's like I'm able to just like completely drown out everybody else that's like standing behind me. I mean, it probably also helps that I'm like, my back is facing everyone, so I don't get to see them. But I really do get into like that kind of like creative rhythm where it just, like I'm just worshiping the Lord through my creativity, through painting. And it just, that's where it like starts to feel natural, because it is a natural thing for me to worship God.
Yes, totally.
So, yeah, I would definitely
Want
to tell people, I was like, yes, I am nervous, but it's okay. I get over it.
Yeah. Hey everyone, it's that time of year again. Christmas is fast approaching, and we have the perfect gift in mind for the woman in your life you want to encourage to boldly pursue God's plans for their life. Splendor Magazine, our parent company, is a biannual Christian women's magazine, but our focus doesn't just center around a certain niche, as other Christian women's magazines might, but the content centers around the different passions that women have in order to help encourage, empower, and equip women to use those passions to glorify God and to make disciples in their field. We have articles that range from home and living to business to The Deborah Woman, where we have interviews with strong women of faith, and other articles such as our Ecclesia feature. By God's grace and goodness, we have sold out of our current fall issue, but we are hoping to print more copies before the end of the year, so keep your eyes and ears open for our latest update. We're hoping to have more issues in stock before Christmas. However, if you can't wait, you can still visit our shop and purchase one of our previous magazines that are sure to be encouragement to your sister, friend, cousin, or even youth group students that you might have in mind to gift Splendor to. Each issue was designed with you in mind, with a theme that we believe is relevant to our everyday reader. To purchase one of our previous issues, go to splendormag.com/shop. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. And use code DIS10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. Again, the link is splendormag.com/shop to purchase your copy today. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to the show. I mean, I think you're kind of talking to a lot of people who are worshipers on stage, you know? I mean, like, even the fact of what you're talking about with preparing, that is what every worship leader does, too. You don't just wing it. Even exactly. with, like, spontaneous worship, there might be moments where it is completely off the cuff. But I even know people who do that more regularly in church services, and they're like, I think this is, like, some they practice it, you know? And then... so it's the same skills that you have to put into any type of art form, you know, like you're not, you should never just wing it unless like the Holy Spirit really does move you. But it should be about, this is something I've told the youth group students I used to be a part of and helping with their worship team of like, we want to pursue excellence, not perfection. But like in knowing that God is delighted that we are doing our best for him, but he's not mad when we mess up. And he just cares about us like delighting in him and how we worship him. And so whether it's like dance and except I do know people like that are really like they'll just hear the music and they'll just like free flow. Just, and I'm like, so that's the only one that I can think of unless they prepare like an actual dance for it that they don't really, they don't have like the kind of practice or whatever. But, but yeah, no, I love, I just love how you worship God through your painting. And I know we're going to take like a sharp left turn and going into something that doesn't really involve your painting, sort of. But it's but it does also, I mean, you did a short film, so you're like, where is she going with this? And that in itself was, it's kind of the same, and I'm not going to give it away, and you're obviously going to go into more detail, but it's kind of the same way of like how God's like, get off your butt with like this, of how God kind of called you to do a short film. So and that is how also you kind of were led to come to Nashville. So yeah, tell the audience how you created a short film also on top of being a painter and an amazing human being. So,
I have a short film called Identity. And this short film, God started giving me the idea for it like 5 years ago, maybe over 5 years ago now. And again, that was one of those things where it was like, I dipped my toes in it trying to get started, and then I got too afraid and then put it on the back burner. But this time, last year, was when God brought it up to me again. And he was like, hey, you remember that short film idea that I gave you 4 years ago? You're going to do that now. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll take my time with it, I guess. And he was like, no, you're going to do it now. Like, if you... you're going to start getting a team of people together and you're going to do it now. You can't wait another month. You can't wait another year. And it was like, in a way, I felt like that was a bit of like some tough love there, because I felt like if I didn't do it, that would essentially be me, one, obviously just disobeying the Lord, but also like, I feel like that... that idea that I had for the short film, God was going to give it to the next person who was actually going to say yes to it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, 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 no. Like, God, you have given this to me. I'm going to do it. So that was kind of like a bit of some reality there for me. But anyways, so God brought it back up to me again around this time last year. And so I started getting... looking around for people to work with me on it. And funny enough too, when like 5 years ago when I first got the idea for it, in the short film, there's a spoken word throughout the whole thing. And I had the entire spoken word written for these past 5 years.
Wow.
Just sitting on my phone. Nothing being done with it. And yeah, so 5 years later, I already had the spoken word written, but I also had these ideas. I was like, man, like I want to have like all these different creative aspects all telling the same story.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do a painting in the video. I had my spoken word written in, written for it. And I knew that I wanted to also like be one of the voice actors or narrators myself. Yeah. So I got to do that, which is really cool.
So cool.
I wanted to have a dancer in the film. And of course, you know, just really amazing videography done behind it too. So I was like, I want this to look amazing and to be amazing, to be professional, not something cheesy and like low quality. And so in my time like searching for this, like God just provided all the doors and all the people that I needed to get connected with in order to put this film together. I would also say like finances were a huge like crazy aspect in that, because this entire time that like I've been pursuing this art thing seriously the past couple years, like finances have not been easy at all, because I'm just constantly learning to lean on the Lord and to trust in Him. And I will say, when I had my normal 9-to-5 job, I was comfortable. I didn't have to worry about finances. But I knew that that wasn't where God was calling me. But anyways, so what was it? New Year's Eve last year, I actually got to hang out with Vanessa. And I was telling her about my ideas for the short film. And she had just recently worked with this videographer. He's super amazing, super talented. And she was just like, hey, like, your vision seems like it aligns very strongly with his. I'll give you his contact information. Tell him that you know me. Tell him about your idea for the short film and see if he'd be interested in working with you on it. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. This guy seems like he's very professional and I do not feel professional in any way. So I did that. I got in contact with him and we made this thing happen. So he is a co-founder for this production company called Unveiled Productions.
Shout out.
Him and his shout out. Him and his wife are the founders of it, and I'm so excited to see where the Lord takes us. But I got to fly them out to Arizona, and one of my good friends, she's a dancer, her name's Nicole, also super amazing. So she got to be the dancer in my video. And it was just so cool. And there was so much pushback that I got as I came closer and closer to actually filming this, leading up to the actual filming. If you know anything about Arizona, it's like you can plan anything and pretty much be guaranteed a sunny day. And we had the craziest weather. We were filming outside, first of all. We were out in the wilderness, and we had the craziest weather I have ever experienced in Arizona in the matter of less than 48 hours. And those were, of course, the 2 days that we were filming outside. And I did everything in my power in planning to make sure that we had clear skies and easy weather. And
I mean, it's Arizona, so you would think it'd be pretty easy.
It just did not happen. And like we, you know, we filmed it outside, but it was such a battle. And we were seriously this close, so close to actually calling it quits. I mean, like, we can't do this anymore, because it was like so physically straining on us and actually dangerous with where we were filming. Because for part of it, we were literally on a mountain edge. And it was very narrow. So it was like, if you fell off, fell over one side or the other, you would be falling down a cliff. But we did it for the view. Yeah. So, it was just like so insane. But I mean, you know, like, I know we don't have like too much time to get into like all of the details, but like I will say that it was like God had to just like be there with us every single step of the way and giving us the endurance to handle every second of that that we had to endure. And like I was like shocked and amazed because like these people are gonna like quit on me. Oh, I'm surprised that they're still here filming with me in this crazy weather, because it was that insane. I was like, we literally got snow, we got rain, we got fog and mist, and we got a dust storm, and it was like crazy wind, strong winds. Oh, it was so cold. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we got everything. I was like, this, you guys, I am so sorry. This is not Arizona. Arizona is acting up
the
right
worst
now.
Time. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was some of their first times coming to Arizona too. And I was like, I promise you, it is not like this.
Oh man.
But we obviously we finished filming and everything, but I remember when we got back to where we were like staying and all that, and we were kind of like debriefing and just digesting what we just experienced together. One of them said it was like, it was like we were in battle, and it was like we were fighting for souls.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's it.
It's like, preach
that's
that
it
word.
Right there. I was like, that's why it was so hard to do all of this, is because we were literally fighting for souls.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I believe that too is because the message behind identity, I would say, like, deals a lot with like mental health and that kind of stuff. Because that has just become more and more and more of an issue in today's society.
Yeah.
That it is, it's definitely something that I've like personally struggled with.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to like have a script written, something written that would like speak to my generation and speak to my society. Like, hey, like, I see you. God sees you. But more importantly, God sees who he made you to be.
Yeah.
And you are free to walk in that. You are free to walk freely. So the story behind identity is it follows the story of a woman who is trying to find her identity in everyone and in everything that the world has to offer. She obviously never is successful at that. And she is led to the point of complete hopelessness that she just wants to end her life. And that is when the voice of God steps in and just completely shatters all of the lies, all of the destruction that the world, that the enemy, and that even herself, you know, she has tried to convince herself of.
Yeah.
God just comes in and tells her the truth of who she truly is, who she was made for. And the big takeaway from that, I would say, is if you want to know who you are, then ask God who he is.
Amen.
That's
the truth. Yeah, no, I love hearing this story. It's my second time and I'm like hearing this. And I just feel like even with all the craziness that happened that day, I feel like it was twofold. Like, the enemy definitely didn't want you to do that. But also I think Christ wanted you to see like how your weakness can be made strong in him.
Yeah.
And also made for a really good short film. Like, I mean, all the crazy weather looked beautiful. So so, you know, I guess thank you, Jesus, for allowing that to happen.
I know. I look back on it now and I'm just like, dang, it looks really good. Yeah. Okay, God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Because he's like the best cinematographer, honestly. So he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knows.
But it is that kind of thing. Like, you know, when you know you're doing something for the Lord, you will, as you said, receive pushback because the enemy really doesn't want you to step into your calling.
Right.
And to step into doing something that could potentially and hopefully lead people to know more of who God is and leading people away from the darkness of like... Of mental health right. issues. And yeah. so, because it is darkness, it is mm-hmm. a lot of struggles and yeah. So the message that you were sharing was bringing light into that darkness and mm-hmm. sharing hope for those who yeah. feel hopeless.
Right.
So I commend you for that, because I think, like, just the fact alone with money, I'd be like, I'm sorry, God, I guess give it to someone else, because
yeah.
I have no money. And I say this as someone who is in the paper press business, and that's, like, one of the most expensive things. So anyway, moving forward. but I really, really enjoyed, I mean, you and I are friends, so I always enjoy talking to you, mm-hmm. but I've really enjoyed this conversation. I think so many people are going to also enjoy listening to your testimony, mm-hmm. how God has been using you, your art. So I, with our last question, mm-hmm. you've heard my podcast, you know what's coming up, because our podcast is called Dressed in Splendor, based off of Luke 12:27. Mm-hmm. And in light of our conversation with your painting, with even doing a short film and pursuing a sort of risky path for a career, what is some advice that you would give to someone who maybe wants to pursue a similar path, and how they can be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field?
Yeah. Keep your eyes, keep your heart set after God.
Mm.
Oh, man. It's making me emotional thinking about it. Because I think of, again, like... I want my life to just be worship to the Lord.
Mm.
That's all that I want. And so there's like a couple stories in the New Testament that I just, that just get me.
Yeah.
And there's the one where there's a sinful woman who enters the Pharisee's home when Jesus is invited for dinner there.
Mm.
And everyone is just looking at her like, oh my gosh, like there's this sinful lady in here. Who does she think she is? And Jesus, if you were really who you said you were, you would know who she is, and you wouldn't allow her to be anywhere near you. Yet Jesus looked at her and was just like, this is beautiful, like, because of your faith, like, you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
But in some Bible translations that I've read, that section, that story was called extravagant worship. And so I'm like, God really does not care where you have been,
yeah.
what you have gone through, what has happened to you. Her heart was set after the Lord. And I'm like, I want my heart to be set after you, God. And and to know that that is how you will receive me. Like, you will always receive me. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
But then also thinking of Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes over to their house. And, you know, Martha's off being busy doing her thing. And she's like, oh my gosh, like, Lord, she's not helping me set up the table. Tell her to help me set up the table. She was so focused on non-important things that she missed out on having an encounter with the Lord.
Yeah.
Having an encounter with the King himself. And Jesus said to her, like, Martha, Martha, like, why do you worry so much? Like, Mary has found the good thing. And that good thing will never be taken away from her. And so I think of that, too, and I'm just like, man... No matter what it is that I am going through, that I am walking through, the hardships, the trials, as long as my heart, as long as my eyes are set on the one good thing that is worth having in this world, then I have everything that I need.
Yeah.
And that good thing will never be taken away. Because I understand that that good thing is Jesus, and he will never be taken away from me, and I will never be taken away from him.
Yeah.
So that's the advice that I would
give. Amen. So good. It's so funny you actually bring up the story of Mary and Martha, because my pastor literally just preached on that this past Sunday. And yes. So it's super relevant. I don't know if God's trying to tell me something through that. So
maybe.
But I absolutely love it. And I think that so many people, like I said, will be encouraged by this conversation. And hopefully they will be able to take some of that advice that you've shared and even, you know, parts of your own testimony and apply it to their own lives.
Yeah.
And maybe they need a kick in the pants too. So if you're listening, no matter what you're pursuing, if you need a kick in the pants, this is that sign for you.
Do it.
So, Leah, where can people find you? What are you working on right now? Mm-hmm. And where can they find also your short film if they want to watch it?
Yeah, so on most social media platforms right now, you're going to find me under Leah Lynn Art, LEAHLYNART. So on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and I have a YouTube channel for the short film.
Cool, cool.
Underneath that name. So again, the short film is called Identity, and I think it's the Identity short film, and then, yeah, you should be able to find underneath my username, Leland Art.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so there's that. Again, the best place to follow me, I would say, is probably Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm most active and posting like more of my recent work and projects and things that I'm doing. Right now, again, as I'm developing this like graffiti street art style in my artwork, I am actually challenging myself to paint a Christian hip hop artist every single week.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's fun. And I've just always enjoyed Christian hip hop, Christian rap. And I just find myself kind of getting connected more and more with that kind of community. So that's kind of some of the projects that I'm working on right now. I know that there will be more short film projects in the future, where, again, I'm using all these different creative avenues and working with other people to tell a story and to really bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth and through media, through creativity, all these things. So that's a lot of the stuff that I'm working on right now. And I might be working on some merchandise too in the future and creating some streetwear. But definitely a lot of planning, a lot of prayer going into that one.
Yeah, be on the lookout, guys. Follow her on there. I will be sharing all of that information in the show notes, as you guys know. But Leah, thank you so much for joining the show. What a pleasure. My goodness. Yeah,
I know. Going from like just having that one conversation on the phone, not knowing each other, and here we are.
And becoming besties and hearing the story again, but so much more detail. And I just like love getting to know your heart so much more the more we get to know each other.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you also, everyone, for tuning in. We will catch you next time. In case you couldn't tell, Leah and I had such a blast recording this episode for you, and I truly believe you're hearing Leah's bright and wonderful personality shine through here. She has been such a joy in my life in our short time of knowing each other, and I know that you will be blessed by the content she shares on her page, so go give her a follow and be on the lookout for some of the exciting projects she has coming up. I hope you're encouraged by our conversation, and if you think that it might be a blessing for someone in your life, please share. Our hope, as always, with this podcast is to help others feel encouraged and learn how to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at The Lydia Summer. The music of the Dressed in Splendor podcast was produced by JL Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.